Backseat Producers, episode number 241, True Romance. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is David. It's like, hey, why did Daryl say anything?
Why did Daryl talk? He's being really quiet today. He lost his voice. Yeah,
the best is that we have just finished talking about it. Daryl's not here. All right, let's get started.
So, it's just the two of us tonight.
It's been old school.
It's been a while since it's been...
It's been a while since I showed up.
That's true.
So, that the last time I was here, I brought Lena with me. So I actually brought more people than just me.
Yeah. Yeah, which was the last we had, so there is that.
Once I show up, everything stops. Just saying.
All right, so tonight we're going to talk about True Romance.
Yep.
Next time we're going to talk about The Green Mile.
Yep.
So two recently dead guy podcasts.
Wait, who died for True Romance?
Tony Scott, the director.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it was one of the other actors I probably would have heard
of. No, it wasn't. Yeah, this is one of the times that it's not actually one of the actors.
Mm.
But man... Let's go ahead and jump into this. There were a lot of people in this movie.
Oh, my God.
Jesus, there were
a lot Lena's of like, people that guy movie. Looks familiar. Which one? All of them look familiar. At least they should.
Yeah. Pretty much everybody in this movie was somebody.
Yep.
So which
her specific one was James Gandolfini. She's like, oh, I know he was in something. And I'm like, he was in The Sopranos. We've never watched that. I'm like, yeah, I know, but like, aren't you culturally aware? That?
Yeah, yeah. So what did you think of it? You said you just got finished with it.
I enjoyed this movie. I started reading the trivia about halfway through because this movie was really long. It didn't need to be. Like,
right.
A lot of these scenes kind of drug on forever. Like maybe halfway through the movie, I'm like, man, this feels like a Tarantino movie. And then I started reading the trivia. I'm like, oh, Tarantino wrote this.
Yeah.
There we go.
Why it feels like a Tarantino
movie. That's why it feels like a Tarantino movie. Although they changed it apparently from a script, which is why it felt like slow and draggy in places, I'm sure.
Oh.
They say that it didn't really resemble what he ended up finishing writing, his finished product was,
right.
But like it still had the Tarantino spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, the interesting characters, the clever dialogue in places.
Yes.
And that's why it didn't feel like a Tarantino flick, because the dialogue wasn't as snappy.
It wasn't snappy, but Tarantino loves the monologue. And this movie had nothing but monologues. Like, it starts with Christian Slater and his monologue, and that was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about Elvis was just really dumb.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Like, that was the one thing that I didn't fully get. And if they would have cut out all the Elvis stuff, I don't think it would have
Elvis
lost.
Was Val Kilmer.
Yeah, I figured that.
That was weird.
I didn't know that, but I figured it. I could tell by the voice.
He's credited as Mentor, so I was waiting. For somebody to show up by that name, never did. And I'm like, oh God, it's Elvis.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Elvis thing was weird. Like, I don't know where they were going with that. But
it didn't ever really seem to be resolved. I mean, there was the stuff at the beginning, and then the stuff at the end, and then he would pose like Elvis every so often.
Yeah, I have no idea. I originally thought this movie was going to be dreadful when it was just Christian Slater's monologue, and then. Time and I was like, oh, this is gonna be terrible. But as soon as Patricia Arquette shows up, that's her name.
Yeah,
Patricia Arquette shows up. Like they actually have good chemistry and it tones him down, and they're actually entertaining to watch. And I was like, oh, this movie got so much better
and
so much better as soon as they got together.
Yeah. So I'm used to watching her on when she was on the whatever that show was, the ghost show that she did
Medium.
For years, Medium. I was thinking Mentalist, but that is a different show.
That is a different show. Different ghosts.
Yes. Well, it's not even ghosts. Yeah. So he actively denounces the existence of supernaturals. So there is a big difference there. I'm used to seeing her, and she's so much more sedate and laid back and mom-like. Because the character is a mom in Medium.
Yeah, when she's busting out the girls. Huh? Yeah,
that was. It was cool to see her that high energy and that fun.
I mean, sexy.
Yes.
Attractive. Because this was like 20 years ago.
Well, that's a big part of it.
Let's just run through some of these actors because the cast was incredible.
We could do a whole episode just talking about each of the actors.
Yeah, no kidding. But I mean, we'll just start with Christian Slater. After that first part, he got a lot better.
I don't really even blame him for that first part. That monologue was just stupid.
The dialogue was just terrible. Yeah. It's like, oh, what are you doing? His accent is weird. Like, he's got a speech pattern that just rubs me the wrong way.
Well, sometimes he slips into this Nicholson thing.
Yeah, where it's like the cadence and the rise and the fall is just really stilted. It's like, yeah. Calm it down, buddy.
Yep.
You're approaching Casey Affleck levels. But otherwise, I thought he was great. Like, after we got that little rough patch at the beginning,
yeah.
Then he starts being awesome everywhere else.
Yes.
Like, it really happens after he confronts Gary Oldman. Like, that whole thing where Gary Oldman's like, yeah, so you're not even sitting down, so I know that whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, I'm not sitting down because I don't want to sit down, and I'm not hungry. I'm not eating because I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
And I just don't like you. Like, that's when he really got awesome from then on.
Yeah.
And I don't know what
happened. And it was scenes like the one where he had with Gary Oldman, where so you see Gary Oldman and you're getting this layout with him and his bodyguards. It's like this feels very this whole setup is very Tarantino.
Yep.
Except I was expecting that character to be persistent through the movie.
Yes.
And then it was like, oh, he's not.
That happened several times. In fact,
yes. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of characters.
Dennis Hopper. I was like, all right, well, we're going to have some sort of like father-son reunion thing or something's going to get resolved. Nope, never mind.
Nope.
He's just going to drop the N-bomb a bunch of times and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and then he's not in the movie anymore. Then
he's no longer the movie. Christopher Walken, no longer in the movie after the scene.
And of all the characters that I didn't expect to see multiple times, Brad Pitt's character.
Yes.
I figured they'd walk in, get information from him, and just blow him away. Just like, oh, here. Oh, dude, he's here. Okay, fine. Boom.
Yep.
You're no longer in the movie. No, he shows up a couple times.
Yep.
They played with my expectations.
A lot.
A lot, and I liked it.
Yeah, so did I.
Because by the end, it was like, oh, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen here. Yeah, exactly. And with Brad Pitt, too, like I thought that was a red herring, that it was like, oh, this guy's back again. Then I thought he was going to do something after the last time.
Nope.
Because they'd already duped me twice with him. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to get ready for the next thrill. And then the next switch was that they didn't do anything with him at all. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, so it did that really well.
Yeah, I was surprised at how really, engaging really good the story was. Yeah. Patricia Arquette.
She was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought she was great.
I did not expect her to be as good as she is because in other things I've seen her in, she's been passable. She performs her duties well.
She shows up?
Yeah. In this one.
On time?
No, in this one, I kind of dug what she did. It was good.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a solid performance.
Yeah, I dug it a lot.
It was fun. It was sexy. It was entertaining. She was playful.
Mm-hmm.
And appropriately, it wasn't like she was, you know, giggling during scenes or anything like that. It was, you know, she legitimately looked like she was having fun in the places when she should have looked
she legitimately looked happy when they were happy.
And they looked like a good couple together.
Yeah, they did.
Their chemistry was
fantastic. The scenes with her and James Gandolfini were great.
Yes.
That whole sequence
was amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And those are hard sequences to shoot. And there are hard sequences for me to buy because it's usually the scenes end up being one of two things. They end up being a rape fantasy or a power fantasy, which I mean is arguably the same thing. But like they pulled that defiance off really well.
And I actually believed that she could hold him off the way she did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was beating the shit out of her in a few of those places. And she looked like she had the shit beat out of her.
And what I loved about that was in most modern films, in a scene where a woman is beat to shit, she's never beat to shit in the face.
Yes.
So in subsequent scenes, she can still look pretty.
They did not do that. That was awesome.
She had visible injuries for the remainder of the film.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, that, and they even played with your expectations during the fight. Mm-hmm. Like when she had the knife and he's like, yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, she fucking dropped it into his foot.
God, then he threw it through that glass door in the bathroom, and I was like,
Yeah, it was good because I wasn't expecting it to get as brutal.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect she was going to survive.
Yeah, me neither. Oh, yeah, I thought she was gone for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fantastic. The scenes with them were great. She was good across the board, I think.
Yep.
I even bought in the beginning, like, I didn't think I was going to buy her, like, sob story of, I'm a hooker, but now I've fallen in love with you. But, I was in.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? There's also a point where you're watching it where it's like, it's her sob story and you're only her fifth date or his fifth date or something. Then you're like, is she just bullshitting him?
Is this bullshit for more money?
Yeah, because I kind of got that, you know, it's like, this guy could potentially come and save me and rescue me from this situation, even if I've been doing it for years.
Right.
But she was also a little bit too clean to be a long time.
Yeah, hooker. Yeah. So the short lifespan of her hookerdom was an essential part of me buying the story.
Yeah.
So I actually dug that. And I actually, so I was thinking about this later. I actually dug that the way that comes about is really like the true romance of this story.
Yeah.
Is that like, it's all that's just legitimate from the get go. Like,
yeah, everything's like really honest.
Yeah. There's no games. And there's like, so they promise that they're not going to lie to each other, which is a clear indication that soon in the future of the story, someone will lie to each other.
Right.
Which will become the central conflict of the movie. And that never happens.
Yeah.
Which the fact I dug.
The fact is the reason they work so well together is that they are honest and trusting of each other.
Yeah.
They trust that they're going to make it through together.
Yeah.
She could have given him up when Gandolfini showed up.
Yep.
She could have just said, hey, look, I don't know this jackass anything. You're here to...
Yeah. The whole thing is, and she never once, even when he starts doing some questionable things, trying to get rid of the coke, she never once gets on his case about it. She's like, all right, I trust you to handle this.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with it.
Right.
So, I mean, that was cool. They have a great dynamic.
Lena points out something that was good. The smirk on Gandolfini's face when he cold cocked her that first time was priceless.
All right. Let's move into the other characters.
Because there was a lot of them.
Yeah, oh my God. Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper is his dad.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
He was great.
Yep.
That grizzled old
man. Grizzled old man. And
hey, look, I fucked up.
Yep.
I wasn't a very good father. So why are you here now? It was really honest.
Yeah. That's really a lot of...
The relationships in this movie consistently were very honest.
Yep.
The roommates, the buddies, his dad, the relationship between the couple.
You know what I say about romance, don't you, Tony?
What's that?
Romance is the best kind of story because at its heart, it is the most fantastic. It is the most fictitious. And that's why I think this movie is aptly named, because almost everybody is honest with each other all of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that respect, it's fantastic. It's very fantastic. Yeah. I've been working on a novel on and off for a couple of years. And the hardest part...
Is it about me? Come on.
Yes! You are the Mary Sue character.
Yes!
The heart of the story is a romance. And it's the hardest thing about the story to make real.
Yeah.
You know, doing conflicts, fighting...
That stuff's
war, battles, anything like that.
Relatively simple. I mean, because you can create a good ambiance, and as long as you have a decent conflict, people are in. Romance is a hard to sell.
You can even do hard research on military battles, strategy, weaponry, period. You know, all that stuff. Romance is, it either works or it doesn't.
Yep.
And man, if it doesn't work, it does not work.
Yep. Romance is real hard. That Name of the Wind book that I was telling you about, it has a weird romance, like the chick is kind of like this, I don't know, a hooker or a call girl or something, some fantasy setting, and the dude's in love with her, but they never talk about it. It's just a weird kind of like off and on kind of bizarre mess, which is a real easy way to sell a romance. Just make it a mess.
Yeah.
Just make it a goddamn mess.
Yeah. Looking at something like Firefly.
Yep.
The Mal and Inara romance. Is terrible.
Yeah. It's awful. It's just a gross mess.
It will never work.
Yeah, it's never going
to
work.
That's why you want it to.
Yep.
And as soon as you have people rooting for a romance, man, once you get to that point,
yeah,
you can do anything.
Yeah, it's gravy. That's why that one episode where like they get the thing and they're all like the last episode where they're all just talking and they're just being honest. Yeah. This was so good.
Yeah. All right.
Now I want more Firefly. Great, Tony. You broke the seal.
10 years.
Demi Moore is like, I gotta make another movie. The Eighth Seal. The Eighth Seal is a Firefly sequel.
Let's not.
Yeah.
let's just have another Avengers movie.
I like The Seventh Seal. It's a good movie.
I remember it vaguely. Let's go ahead and do that because we've never talked about it.
It matters to God.
I don't remember it.
I liked it.
I saw it. I vaguely remember that I enjoyed it.
I'm actually surprised Melina hasn't seen it. It seems really right up her alley.
Wow.
But we'll do it after we do, what's his face?
Green Mile.
Yeah. Done. All right. Dennis Hopper was great. Christopher Walken. Fantastic.
Always.
The scene between the two of them was great.
Yeah.
Gandolfini
was good.
Gandolfini was great.
Bronson Pinchot. I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong. That guy was an asshole. And he played an asshole.
Yeah, that guy
and
was...
He was effectively an asshole.
Quintessential 80s, 90s, that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Saul Rubinek. So I've watched 4 seasons of Warehouse 13 almost in a row now.
Yeah.
Of which he is one of the main characters.
Right.
And they have this picture of him as a young agent. He was charged with treason, blah, 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 back in the day. And they have a picture of him. It's like a picture from this movie. And it's like,
oh, wow. Christ. Wow.
It's ridiculous. But he was great. Damn it.
Brad Pitt was
fantastic.
Was hilarious. I think Brad Pitt is really underrated. I think I don't think people give him all that much credit, but he pulls off roles like this really well. And
this role, like 12 Monkeys,
yeah,
Fight Club, all of those were fantastic performances from him. So yeah, I haven't seen a bad Brad Pitt.
Did you say 12 Monkeys? Even the Forrest Gump ripoff, Benjamin Button.
He was good in that.
He was good.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase. That was a Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
Spielberg always goes for the lowest common denominator, and then he, like, loads up on these cheap tricks to get you invested or emotionally involved in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that he uses the cheap tricks because they're effective. Like, Saving Private Ryan is nothing but cheap tricks.
Yeah.
We're in a war, and this is the last son of a mother who lost 4 sons already. It's like, Jesus, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. It's
stop it already.
It's a little ridiculous. Yeah. That's like
lighten up the hand.
Julie watched War Horse?
No. I reject that.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, same that was another Spielberg, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
she brought it home. She's like, she brought it home from the red box. She said, I thought you wanted to watch this.
No.
I don't know where you got that idea. Because no. I did not implant that into your brain, Pan.
There's
is
the thing.
Not anything I wanted to see.
Here's the thing.
What's a war movie?
I already know what's gonna happen. It's a horse movie.
It's a horse movie set in World War I.
It's a horse movie, and I was out for horse movies after Hidalgo, alright? I was out. That was the last horse movie that we were going to watch. Yeah, no, I knew exactly what War Horse was. And I was like, I kind of want to see that. No, I know what it is. You're going to be real sad at the end when the horse dies. It's going to die.
It doesn't.
What?
that's what makes it so much worse.
Oh, my God.
Because the horse is Mary Sue.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
the horse is Bella Swan.
Yeah. Eventually it turns into a tank. I get it.
Swear to God, there's one point in the movie where the horse runs into barbed wire, like a field of barbed wire. And it is just
thrashing
and rolling around and screaming. And there's bombs going on. It's like, what is this about? I don't understand anymore. It's
about Spielberg taking your money. Like, he has bets. Like, I imagine they're escalating bets with the devil. And the devil's
it's with George Lucas.
Somebody. Same difference. I bet you can't make a movie about a horse in a war and have people give you $1 billion. And Spielberg's like, challenge accepted.
This one had a scene that was literally the horse being torturing itself, and then you laugh in the next scene. The scene immediately after the horse thrashing around, it just kind of lays down because it's like it I guess it finally has enough sense to realize that the more I thrash around, the worse it gets. So it just kind of lays down, and these people come up to save it. And they're like in an exposed combat zone. They're coming up and they're clipping this horse free. And they're like, hey, do you guys have any more clippers? And like all of a sudden over the bunker, like 10 pairs of wire cutters come flying over. Come on, my God, this is terrible.
Yeah, Spielberg! Well, Spielberg wasn't involved in this movie.
Thankfully.
Damn it. Why can I not remember Chris Penn?
Chris Penn and...
What's the other guy's name?
At first I said it was Michael Madsen. It's not him. It's not him. The guy with the big schlong.
I don't know what that means. Just to be more specific. I'm talking Sonny?
Sizemore.
Tom Sizemore.
Tom Sizemore.
Why does Tom Sizemore have a big schlong?
I don't know. That's what I heard.
That's a weird thing to hear, Tony.
I don't know.
I don't know where you heard that. Are you looking it up? Tom Sizemore penis.
Oh, there you go. It's a sex tape.
That's right.
So there we go.
Tom Sizemore, I say, sorry about your penis, dude. Maybe it was a small penis.
Oh, maybe it was.
Does he use a fake prosthetic penis filled with another person's semen?
Wow.
Every time I hear about Tom Sizemore, it's about his dick. I don't know what's happening here, but now we're looking at Tom Sizemore naked.
This is getting weird.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. Where's Daryl? Take the interns on it.
Tom Sizemore's penis?
Well, if someone's going to get on it, I guess.
See, that or Daryl. So
yeah. He's not here. We should just volunteer him.
There you go. Yeah, so Chris Penn and Tom Sizemore.
That was ridiculous.
As the cops.
I don't know. Like, the back half of this movie started falling apart.
They keep introducing people and following people.
The people keep dying, and I'm like, is this a race to see who's going to make it to the end of this movie?
Hey, I've got the Coke. I'm going to do Coke while I'm driving.
Yeah. Like, wait, what? What is going on? And then, like, so the guy's trying to hide the Coke in the car, but, like, you can clearly see the cop, like, standing right behind him. He's like, just hide this in your purse. And, like, the cop's like, what? Right here. I don't know. Hollywood was a weird time in the 90s, I guess.
I loved her reaction, though, when the Coke went all over his face. She's busted out laughing.
So, but otherwise, I love this. I really enjoyed this movie.
It was good.
I loved it. I enjoyed it.
It's easy to see why this is considered one of Tony Scott's most critically acclaimed movies.
What else did he do?
Top Gun?
Nope, never seen it.
You've never seen Top Gun?
Negative.
Oh, really? Of course you didn't, because if you had, you would have answered that negative Ghost Rider.
The approach is full.
Yeah,
what, Tony? Done, what?
He has done a number of movies, of which most of them I am not remembering at the moment.
Oh, Tony, I got IMDb. Oh, Man on Fire? I didn't like Man on Fire.
Man on Fire, the remake of Man on Fire was not as good as yours.
He's rumored to be doing Prometheus 2. I'm going to guess that is not going to happen.
Probably not.
Let's see. The East, World Without End. Prometheus.
As a producer. For his brother.
Oh, shit, yeah. I guess I should stop looking at the producer list. Unstoppable. The movie about the train.
Days of Thunder. Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Okay. Well, hold on. Unstoppable and The Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. That's two train movies.
Yeah.
What?
A year apart.
God.
Now, another one that I considered doing instead of this one was Crimson Tide.
Ooh, I want to watch Crimson Tide. Enemy of the State was good, too.
Yeah.
The Last Boy Scout. Why didn't we do The Last Boy Scout? Last Boy Scout was fantastic. Beverly Hills Cop 2, Top Gun, The Hunger.
All right, so that's his resume that we just read.
You do not need to go to IMDb and look up Tony Scott now.
We have taken care of that
for
you.
Also, he did not get cut in half by a helicopter blade.
That is true. Unlike Vic Morrow.
Unlike Vic Morrow.
Is there anyone else that we missed in our reading of the...
the cast list?
Holy crap.
I don't think so. I think we hit all the... Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman was fantastic. Jesus Christ.
I expected to see a lot more of him.
Me too.
Especially because of how physically different he looks with those
dreads.
The dreads and the cornrows.
As soon as I saw, have you seen the previews for that Bradley Cooper movie about him driving?
Him driving.
Bradley Cooper plays a bad guy in a movie where he has dreads and like these yellow glasses. He's hunting down this driver guy.
No, I've not seen
it. What's her face in it? The chick from Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Mm-hmm. The blonde chick. God damn it.
That one's not coming to me.
Why can't I think of what this is? God, you hear they're making another Hangover? What
yeah, are you doing? I heard that. It's going to be the end of the trilogy.
What trilogy? What? Hit and Run. Here we go.
Oh, that terrible piece of crap. That has already come and gone.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, he's got dreads in there. Like he looks like Gary Oldman.
What?
And I didn't see the other half of the picture.
Yeah, the picture was still loading.
So, that was a thumbnail I clicked.
That's fair. Yeah, so to be fair and to explain what I just saw, Adam pulls up a list of thumbnails and clicks on one and shows it to me. And it's centering in on Bradley Cooper with the dreads. Then all of a sudden, the rest of the image fills out. And you see another guy stage left. That is butt-ass naked, and you see his naked butt.
Yeah, he's like 80 years old, too.
What is this?
Oh, Kristen Bell, that's who I was thinking of. Man, every time I watch House of Lies, I hope she gets naked, and she never does. She's never going to, but I keep watching it, even though it's terrible.
Samuel L. Jackson.
He was only in it for like two lines, and he was talking about eating chicks' butts.
Yes. You just lie. You're a liar.
You're a liar. I eat everything. So, what else about this movie? I dug the way that the story was constructed.
It could have used a little more editing, I think. There was probably a scene or two that we didn't need to see. But all in all, those scenes, they didn't add to the story so much as they did add a little bit to the suspense because you'd see a scene, you'd expect to see one thing, but they had so many side characters that they gave you the resolutions to, most of which were them getting killed.
Yes.
That you'd all of a sudden you'd cut away and then you'd see somebody die and then they'd get back to the main story where they'd introduce three more people who you will eventually see die.
Yes. I dug that about this movie. It was not a predictable movie.
No.
And
at the end there was a clean slate.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that I did not see that coming, especially since so many other people died. And an eye patch!
Yes.
An eye patch!
Yeah.
So, I've been watching that Warehouse 13, almost four seasons of it, almost straight in a row now. And I love that the writers are clever in some ways, but they're terrible in other ways, right? So, it's a dude and a chick, and they're an agent team. So the default assumption is that these two are going to get together.
Right.
But there is never any romantic, like there's no romance between these two characters whatsoever, ever, at any point. But
good.
They continually tease it in such a way that you expect it to happen, but something completely different happens. They go back in time, and they take over these two people's bodies, and like in the future, the person who would had her body taken over by the female chick is like, yeah, we just woke up in this grove and we were making out and that's how me and my partner in the past got together. So you assume that at the end of the episode, these two are going to be making out. But that's not what happens. Then what happens is she's dying of cancer and she's like, well, I'm going to go back. And she goes back in time, inhabits her own body, makes out with the dude to spark their romance because otherwise they would never get together. I'm like, damn it. That was good and clever.
Wow.
Perfect setup. Perfect, and I just ruined it for whomever had not seen the episode.
That's all right.
Booyah.
I've only seen a handful of episodes from the first season.
It's okay. It's generally okay.
Yeah.
Once Claudia shows up, it gets better. She's really hot. She actually looks a lot like Jen Wong.
It's a plus.
Like that half-Asian thing.
Yeah.
It's Jen half-Asian.
Well, the name like Jen Wong. You're either half or full.
Yeah.
Either that or somebody has a really interesting naming scheme
on
their family tree.
Half Asian, half Sicilian. We all know what about the Sicilians.
All in all, a good flick.
Yeah, it's a pretty good flick. I mean, if you're into Tarantino, this is a good movie.
It's a lighter Tarantino. It's a little bit lighter than a full-on Tarantino. But you can very definitely see his hand.
Yeah. In fact, they filmed a couple different endings for it, and one of them, Christian Slater dies, And the story is allegedly that Alabama goes on a crime spree with Mr. White from Reservoir Dogs. And there's a line in Reservoir Dogs where somebody asks him, tell me about Alabama.
Ah.
So that would actually be really cool, but they didn't actually do that.
They didn't follow through with that
no.
one. But, so was there any other trivia of note?
Not that I remember.
Tarantino sold the script for $50,000, which was the minimum that could be paid for a script at the time. Hell, I'm going to start writing some scripts. The word fuck and its derivatives are said 225 times.
According to Dennis Hopper, the only words he ad-libbed in the scene with him and Christopher Walken were eggplant and cantaloupe.
The roller coaster scene was originally written to have taken place in a zoo. Tony Scott changed it to give the movie an adrenaline rush.
No, this is the best one. Following the eggplant scene, Dennis Hopper was concerned about being shot by Christopher Walken with the prop gun so close to his head for fear of being burned by the barrel. Director Tony Scott assured him the gun was 100% safe and even tested it by having the prop man fire it against his, Scott's, own forehead. But upon firing the prop gun, the barrel extended about a third of an inch and Scott ended up on the floor with blood pouring out of the wound.
Wow.
That's awesome. Gary Oldman based the character of Drexel on an actor named Willie Oneblood, who he later starred with in Luc Besson's Leon the Professional.
Hmm.
I don't know who that was in the movie, but I will look them up.
Jack Black appears in a cameo as a theater usher in a deleted scene.
That's...
Man, that is trivia. Or trivial.
Willie Oneblood.
The hat Brad Pitt wears in the kitchen sequence he found abandoned on the boardwalk in Venice, California. He took it, washed it, and wore it for the film.
I have no idea who this Willie Oneblood guy is, but I'll just assume it was the black guy and Leon.
In the diner sequence, when Clarence asks Alabama what her turnoffs are, she replies Persians in the finished film. Being turned off by her character appearing racist in the scene, Patricia Arquette, who played Alabama, name-dropped a different ethnicity for each take that was shot. She said she wanted to be equally offensive to all people.
That's good. I approve of that.
This is so strange. The DVD commentary, Tarantino admits that this is the most autobiographical movie he has ever made. And you know just how fantastic the aspect of being true romance was. Well, and kind of you pick up on it because she's also a hooker, is that he takes her to a comic book store and he still gets laid after that. Yep. And he says, I work here.
Mm-hmm. Gary Oldman stated that he would do a full feature film of the Drexel character.
Wow.
Oh, when we were at Dragon Con, we watched an independent film directed by Juliet Landau.
Who is that?
Played Drusilla on Buffy.
Okay.
Which was a biography of Gary Oldman, but was bizarre. Like, we walked in maybe the last 10 minutes, and people are, like, walking on a beach with all these pigeons. What is going on? And Melina's like, Gary Oldman was in this. You missed him. And I'm like, Gary Oldman wasn't in this. And apparently it was a biography of Gary Oldman. And she's like, Gary Oldman happened to do this biography. What's happening?
That's weird.
Why are there so many pigeons?
That's weird. So we talked about how murdery this movie was. There are 21 on-screen deaths, all male, all from death by a gunshot. Yeah, so...
Actually, go back to that trivia. Did you get yours through Amazon, or...?
Yes.
All right, so there are two versions of cop Nicky Dimes' death during the hotel suite shootout. In one of them, Dimes executes Boris for Boris's murder of Corey Nicholson, but is then shot and killed by one of the mobsters. In the other version, Dimes still executes Boris, but then is shot to death by Alabama because she thinks that he shot and killed Clarence, who was badly wounded but alive. Did you see that one, or did you see the other one?
I saw the second one, where Alabama shoots him because she thinks that
he's dead. Yeah.
He's dead, which kind of makes the most sense.
Yeah, all right. That's also the one I saw.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched it on Amazon, which, I gotta tell you, getting a movie through Amazon, streaming through the Xbox 360, it's a pretty good experience.
I wish I could do that on my Apple TV, but I can't.
Xbox 360, though, don't you?
Not upstairs.
Oh, wow.
I actually have a PS3 upstairs. I can probably do it through PS3.
Yeah.
But then I'd have to get up and get the controller, and let's be honest, that's not going to happen.
My remote will also control the Xbox.
Man.
So.
Here you are.
Check me out.
Yep. They need a voice-activated thing for the PS3. I'm in the fourth season of Breaking Bad. That's the best.
Yeah, the fourth season is the best.
Oh my god, Face Off.
The Bear.
The Bear.
Man, the callback to The Bear is so great.
The callback to The Bear is great. I didn't know in season two or three, whatever one was with a plane,
mm-hmm.
that if you put together the names of the four episodes in that season, that it spells something. Because one of them is 737 down over ABQ, is the name of the four episodes.
Right.
I didn't know that it actually spelled something.
Oh, I didn't get that either.
Because 737 is one, ABQ is one,
right.
I think down and out or something. There's something. I don't remember what the middle ones are. But goddamn, I can't wait for that to come back. God, it's so good. Yeah, 737 down over, and then ABQ.
I see. Very nice.
That's so clever. In fact, in that first episode of season two, they begin foreshadowing the plane. Walt and Jesse are sitting in the car, and he adds up all the money. He's like, I think with the college rates and tuition and inflation, I'm going to need $737,000 for the first 2 minutes.
Wow.
Oh, come on!
Wow.
Right out of the gate.
Better call Saul.
Oh, man. Oh, gotta call Saul. God. Saul is the best.
All right. I don't have anything else to talk about.
Me neither. It's a great movie. Go watch if you haven't already seen it.
Yep. Next week, Green Mile.
Maybe we'll replace Daryl for next week.
Maybe.
We can do a Clint Eastwood tribute with an empty chair and say that we have President Obama on the show.
You know, I know people were talking about that. I have yet to watch it.
I didn't
it,
watch the RNC or the DNC, anything from it, because I just don't care.
The way I figure is it's the reason they're supposed to do it is so that they can select who the nominee is going to be, but
you already
it's
know,
already
going
a foregone
into it, yeah.
conclusion, so what is the point
yeah,
in spending
like the
all that
pomp,
money?
The pomp around this is just, it's just a big, giant waste of money. It's like, all right, well...
I mean, I'm sure for
not,
the cities that are holding the conventions,
yeah, it's
great.
Them,
I mean, because they get all kinds of influx in capital.
Yeah,
but
you
aside
know, I don't
from
live
that,
there. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if I did live there, it'd just be a big pain in my ass. It's, well, I mean, I guess not here. I don't ever go to the city. So,
the businesses in Tampa tanked. Oh, that stinks. Then again, wasn't there like that whole
hurricane
thing going
yeah.
on too?
It was because you left, Lena. That's what happened.
People expected to see you when you weren't there. They're like, yeah. "F this, we're out of here."
We are out. Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. It's just very weird. The best thing that came out of either convention was they showed plenty of new material
from both of them.
Yeah, from both of them, which is really all I care about.
Yep. All right. We will see you guys next time.
That was Backseat Politics. So
I had to go to nudie places in St. Louis instead.
We do have a bustling strip club empire here.
Mostly on the Illinois side.
Mostly on the Illinois side. Sports Cabaret is very nice.
Alright.
Yeah.
See you next time.
Man, Tony, we did this by ourselves. No Daryl. We still got the magic.